You're listening to the Mind Your Home podcast. I'm your host, Mia Danielle, and I'm here to tell you that the number one thing you can optimize to give you more energy and happiness is your environment. If you're tired of the chaotic cycle and ready to feel energized at home with more simplicity, more energy, and less clutter, then welcome to the Mind Your Home podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the channel. Today I want to talk about something that we'll all experience at least once in our lives if you haven't already, and that is merging or blending spaces. I had a recent experience with this when staying with my family back home because my parents' fully furnished home has now had to absorb my grandparents' larger fully furnished home's worth of belongings, and they have a family member staying with them, which means that they're merging spaces in multiple ways at once. And they're not alone. Like, I've worked with many people who are in the exact same predicament, whether it's from something exciting, like moving in with a romantic partner, or a loss, like losing a loved one. There will very likely be a time in your life where you'll be faced with making decisions or co-making decisions about someone else's belongings. And while inheriting items sounds lovely, in most cases, it isn't only your grandmother's fine jewels that you're inheriting, it's literally everything else, down to the 50-year-old trash can. And while moving in with your significant other is an exciting next step, it could also be a point of stress and a new debate over what your bed wears best, a light boho floral set or a basic microfiber in black. It can be a source of discomfort when you realize that the homes and lifestyles you've each become accustomed to individually are quite different, and now decisions have to be made lest you end up with two of everything. Fun fact, that's actually how Matt and I ended up with our Dyson vacuum. Our friends moved in together and ended up with two Dyson vacuums, and so when ours melted from being placed in front of the heater, they had an extra to donate. Whether a union or a loss, the result could be a discombobulated space and a full garage of storage. So let's talk about some considerations and solutions for preventing this unexpected avalanche of belongings and weaving together a cohesive mixture of lives, memories, and yes, stuff. The first thing I highly recommend is to take pictures as you go. And this is not something that you're going to want to stop and do, but trust me, it's going to help you out a lot in the future. Because what often happens is that you're caught off guard by the sheer quantity of stuff that's incoming. And so things are quickly packed and shoved into like the easiest storage location. But once they're packed, they're packed. And then all of a sudden, taking an inventory or listing things to sell becomes much more difficult. I say this from experience because I really wanted to help my parents out by posting some of my grandmother's larger pieces to sell while I was there. This has been, understandably, a pretty big project for them that's taken up their entire garage space, which my dad is really working toward getting back. And I'm pretty quick with taking pictures and posting things to sell. I've done it a lot. But those things were so buried and packed in that it would have taken forever just to get the items free to be able to take pictures and post them. It's at this point going to have to be a little more of a chipping away at it type of situation. So trust me when I say that if you are going through this and you're looking at moving in large hauls of furniture or belongings of somebody else's, whether you're moving in together or, you know, inheriting things from someone else, take pictures of things that you might want to sell in the future as you go, because it's going to save you tons of time later. The second piece of advice I have is to future-proof what matters. We often don't think beyond the present moment when it comes to dealing with our belongings, and this can give us a skewed perception of how best to tend to those items. This is especially true when you're thinking about heirlooms. For example, I was having this chat with my dad about some of my grandmother's things, and he brought up the generations worth of photo albums that had pictures of people that were even beyond his time. And he said, you know, of course I can't get rid of things like that. There are generations of unique photos. And my response was, between me and my sister, who do you think is going to keep all of those photos of people you don't even know once you're gone? He knew the answer because he was quiet for a little bit after that. Neither of us would be keeping all of those cabinets of photo albums of people that none of us knew. In the moment, it seems like something that's way too valuable to mess with or to not preserve in its current condition. But when you consider the grand scheme of things, like if the items are truly that valuable, then you would probably want to preserve them digitally, right? Like upload them to a Google folder or something that could be shared with whoever wants to access them. Maybe those unknown people's kids or grandkids would want to be able to access and download them for themselves. Otherwise, there's a good chance that those pictures won't exist at all in another 50 years. We went to visit my uncle and cousin who had the exact same conversation about old 8-tracks and videos. He said that there was a particular one he was looking for that was of my great-grandmother cooking, like she was putting on a cooking show and she was animated and we were getting to see her recipes, which were delicious. And now he couldn't find some of them and some had been damaged from the elements of being in storage for so long because they're really old. So if you're thinking about future-proofing, you may think differently about the way that you hold on to some of those items that weren't meant to exist forever, even if you do still really cherish them. Number 3 is a big one, and this is the hardest one for people, and that's to let go of any expectations. People typically say lower your expectations, but when it comes to the value of other people's stuff, or even your own stuff that you're downsizing in order to grow with somebody else, if it's a relationship situation, it's a lot easier to detach from the expectations of what you think things are worth. And I'm not saying that you should give it all away or trash everything, but you'll make a lot more progress if you don't emotionally attach yourself to a specific reimbursement outcome. In the end, things are only worth what people are willing to spend on it, regardless of what was originally spent, regardless of what their value is supposed to be. Value is demand. We all get tied up in the endowment effect, which is a cognitive bias of overvaluing things that we own, or maybe in this case of things that your loved ones owned. We see our ancestors' antique armoire and we think that it must be worth thousands of dollars, and then we get crickets whenever we post it to sell. But let me ask you, if you saw something similar for sale somewhere, would you be eager to pull out your wallet and dump thousands of dollars on it? Probably not. So absolutely, do the research, post your items. You know, if you have things that you think are of value and you want to sell, use gorgeous photos and descriptions that really are showing their highest value. Take a smart approach to selling things, but detach from the emotion and the expectation of it all. And don't feel the need to take things in and make space for them. If you saw the post that I left a couple of weeks back, my aunt, who was pretty young, passed away. And among other family members, of course, myself included, she left behind a 14-year-old daughter, my cousin, and a mother, my grandmother, both of whom she was very close with. And my grandmother plans to let my cousin choose what she wants to keep of her mom's belongings and then have an estate sale for the rest. She's not trying to hold on to all of my aunt's things and stuff them into her home and find places for them. She knows the closeness that she had with her daughter and doesn't feel the need to hold on to all of the things. My grandmother's home is already beautifully curated. It's exactly the way that she wants it, and that's enough. My 4th recommendation is to take the one in, one out rule to heart. Now, I'm not somebody who lives by the one in, one out rule that so many people swear by, but when you're merging households, this is a great time to start living by that rule. It just isn't feasible to own 3 dining tables. For most people, it isn't feasible to own more than one. There are only so many couches that you can squeeze into a place, even if you're sectioning them off to different rooms of the house. Keeping everything and finding a spot for it isn't always the best choice. This is a great opportunity to strategically merge a bit of your past into your present space. This could look like replacing your more modern but maybe cheaply made dresser with an heirloom antique as a simple accent piece, or swapping out select pieces of one partner's belongings with another, you know, to create a home that really reflects both personalities in a unified, unique style. Take on the challenge of turning mixed pieces into a cohesive and stylish space. It's okay to mix and match a little bit, and sometimes creating a new style together is the best part. And number 5 is to start with stories, not stuff. If you're moving in with someone, particularly if that person is a romantic partner, this could be a unique way to get to know each other on another level. Most belongings have a story, even if that story is, I got this blender for Christmas 15 years ago from Aunt Sally. Now they know what kind of gifts Aunt Sally gets, and that you have the ability to hold on to something like a blender for 15 years. It's all knowledge. It really does help both of you to understand what's really valuable to one another and what's just taking up space. And it's also a great way to connect and to make decisions together about what should stay and what should go. When Matt and I moved in together years ago, I learned that he builds his own computers and that they're his most prized possessions, with a 20-year-old pillow coming in as a close second. Those were his super non-negotiable pieces. I learned that he doesn't collect a lot and that he held on to his items for a very long time, often until they're falling apart. Information. Of course, this can be just as powerful, if not more so, when you're going through heirlooms and using these stories as a cathartic part of the healing and releasing process. When I go to my parents' house now, I see the big round dining table with a little matching Lazy Susan built in that belonged to my grandmother Julie. We ate lunch at this table every Sunday, and I can still hear her voice in my head when I look at that table. Stories. Blending spaces is more than just dealing with stuff. It's about celebrating the blend of past, present, and future that your space represents. If you're merging spaces with a romantic partner, then it's about building a life together. So tackling this with empathy, patience, stories, and even a bit of humor can turn a potentially overwhelming task into an opportunity to grow closer and really create a space that truly feels like home.